Let us then turn in God's Word to James chapter 2. As we celebrate Reformation Day, this is of course the 500th year since Luther did that. By the way, in Zurich about the same time, lesser known, Zwingli was changing a number of things with regard to the Reformation as well. Very much parallel, Luther and Zwingli got together and at the Marburg colloquy, and Luther writes home from that and says, "We agree on everything except the presence of Christ at the supper." And so Zwingli and Luther were very close in their doctrines except for that particular idea. So we look at James chapter 2. We'll begin reading at verse 8 and read through the end of the chapter. We've been looking at the different solas that were kind of the touchstones of the Reformation over the last couple of years at this time of year as we partake of communion, as we celebrate Reformation Day. And this morning I want to look at sola fide, by faith alone. And I want to show this morning how even the passage which is often used to say, no, we need works, it's very clear that faith is far more foundational, is below that which is the requirement for faith, that works arise out of that. And so let's read together James chapter 2, beginning reading at verse 8 and reading through the end of the chapter. "If you really fulfill the royal law, according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever shall keep the whole law, yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. For he who said, 'Do not commit adultery,' also said, 'Do not murder.' Now if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs through judgment. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and filled,' but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.' You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, 'Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God.' You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." Thus far the reading of God's Word. May He add His blessing to our consideration of it this morning. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, as I said, we've been looking at the solas of the Reformation. Those are, of course, sola scriptura, that we have in the scriptures all that is necessary for teaching us how to live and what to believe. We have sola gratia, that we are saved by the grace of God, not by any deserving in ourselves. By sola fide, that we are saved by faith alone, and not through any works other than that. But solus Christus, that there is no other merit necessary to our salvation somehow outside of Christ, but that He provides all that is necessary. And then finally, soli Deo Gloria, that all that we are as Christians and as human beings is about the glory of God. And so we look this morning at sola fide, one of the cries of the Reformation. We are saved through faith alone. Now notice the Bible uses that idea of through. We are not saved on account that we somehow give God faith and He then gives us salvation. The faith which we have is not worthy of that. But faith, if you will, is like a tube, like a conduit, through which God gives us salvation. And so as we look at this passage, I want to spend just a little bit of time looking at a passage which is a little more clear. We have to understand that this is the passage that is classically used to say, well, no, you have to have works in there too, somehow. But the Bible is so clear across the board that we are saved through faith. When Paul is asked by the Philippian jailer in the middle of the night in Acts chapter 16, verse 30, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Paul responds, verse 31, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household." He doesn't say, work all this out, do all this and that. He says, believe. And he continues, "Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them that same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them and he rejoiced, having believed in God with his whole household." Because salvation had come to his house, he rejoiced. The baptism, we celebrate the Lord's Supper this morning. The sacraments are a response to salvation. As we say in the form, they are signs and seals of the salvation that God has already given us. They are not there to bring us salvation somehow. They are the response that we are called and our faith is symbolized and sealed. What God has done for us is symbolized and sealed to us in them. And as I said, in our sermon today, we look at a passage that is classically misused to show that works are necessary for salvation. That's not James' argument here. For the purpose of his argument, notice that faith is assumed. James doesn't even consider the situation where there is not faith, because without faith there is no salvation. He shows that faith must be a working faith, that faith causes us to live in a certain manner. What we do demonstrates what's in our hearts. And when we see ourselves living according to God's commandments, we can then be confident that God is working in us and that we have salvation. Looking at a number of places where the Scriptures talks about salvation by faith alone, Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Again, Ephesians 2, very powerful, verses 8 and 9. Just a small part of that. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." And Titus 3, verse 5, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit." And so, what we believe, and that's what we want to see, what we believe is shown by how we live. What we believe is shown by how we live. And as we look at this passage this morning in verses 14 through 17, we see that actions speak louder than words. In verses 18 through 20, we see that faith, or lack thereof, is shown through our works. And in verses 21 through 26, we see that faith is working together with works, showing that works, that these two go together. And we want to understand what God has to say here, so that we might not be confused when other people say, no, this is what this teaches. Actions do speak louder than works. We talk about a mere profession. "What does it profit, my brethren," verse 14, "if someone says he has faith but does not have works?" If we just say, "I believe," and sadly there's this idea in our culture today that all I have to do is say, "I believe," and I'm good to go. unaccompanied by any effects within us, the idea is that's really not faith. Jesus said, Matthew 7:21 and following, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" James here talks about faith without works is dead. Jesus there as well talks about works without faith is dead. You have to understand that too. We live in a culture that says, well, it has to just look good. The writer of the Hebrews says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to him must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So faith is the operating principle behind this. And we live in a world that is very self-seeking, selfish. And we have to see that. If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, "Depart in peace, be warmed and filled," but you do not give them the things that are needed for the body, what does it profit? Can you even imagine? And yet at that same time, that's comparable. We can say something if we don't do anything, if our faith is not acted out in our lives, that's not real faith. John writes, 1 John 3:17 and 18, "But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth." Faith is going to be a working faith. Faith by itself, verse 17, if it does not have works, is dead. That's not faith. Yes, we are saved by faith, but there is no such thing as faith without works. Jesus said, Luke 6:43, "A good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks." What we believe is going to be what we do. We are to produce good works from faith. Titus 2:14, "Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works." We as Christians are called to be zealous for good works. Actions speak louder than words. We can say, "I believe," but if there is no action with it, the question being, is our faith real? And faith, or lack thereof, is shown through our works. It is impossible to show what's in your head without talking or without doing something. Jesus said that that good tree will bear good fruit. He said, Matthew 5:16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Our faith, our belief is demonstrated through our works. Now, verse 19 is very interesting. "You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble." As I said, there is this idea that we can somehow believe in God without having it affect us. That it's not going to change what we do. And what kind of faith is that? "You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble." That's the faith that the demons have. They believe there's a God. What did they do when Jesus walked around on this earth? They trembled before him. And they do that all the time, by the way, but it's a very powerful example. What did they all say when Jesus came into the room? "Are you here to judge us before the time?" And there are a lot of people who have this idea that faith is going to say that just all I have to do is say I believe. True faith is working faith. It's going to cause us to live differently. There's this idea within the church, perhaps you hear it from time to time, of non-lordship salvation. I believe in Jesus, but He's not Lord of my life. I'm sorry. That falls right in here in verse 19 of a demonic faith. And so we as Christians, yes, we're saved through faith. But that faith is going to have with it works. Jesus says that we are called to be fruit testers. Faith without works is useless. That's what we read again and again, again and again in this passage. But do you want to know, O foolish man, verse 20, that faith without works is dead, is nothing at all. Faith is working faith. I don't know how good the analogy is, but I kind of like it. When you drive a car and you press down the accelerator, the car accelerates, right? But did your pressing down of that accelerator move the car forward in any way? No, it goes along. It is necessary. It is a necessary part of being a believer, but the faith in God is what saves us. And that is again and again. He says, someone will say, verse 18, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Faith is assumed. Faith working together with works. It's not faith and works. Faith produces works. Jesus said that. What is in my heart then comes out. Whether it be good words and good deeds, or whether it be evil words and evil deeds. What I believe is shown by what I do. And so people like to set Paul over and against James here. Paul, you're saved by faith, they say. Well, James says you got to work. No, it's very obvious in this passage. Verse 23, Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness and he was called the friend of God. Abraham's faith caused him to live in a specific way. Abraham had his issues, but Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And that caused him to live obediently to God. That caused him, even as the writer to the Hebrews says, that he sacrificed his son. He gave his son readily. He had the death blow ready when God withheld his hand. Well, Paul says the same thing, Romans chapter 4, Galatians 3, 6, just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. We believe. Notice what we read before the passage. That whoever shall keep the whole law, verse 10, yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. We are not saved on account of how good our actions are. So speak, verse 12, and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. The law of liberty. That we are freed from the law as the way in which we save ourselves. But that we live according to that law in thanksgiving. And so we are to live as those who will be judged by that law. Not because we're finally judged by it, because we have broken at least in one point. We have all broken God's law. We are transgressors of the law. And so James, if he's saying that you are saved somehow by works, has already said, then you're nowhere. But he says, show me your faith by your works. So faith working together with works. We're not saved by those works, but that salvation is shown by what we do, because it shows what's in our heart. Again, Rahab, as an example. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? She shows what she believed. If you think about what was going on as the Israelites came into Canaan, I don't think we realize that the Canaanites were just scared out of their minds about these people who had defeated. They knew about what had happened down in Egypt. And so again and again, as the Israelites came around the were coming in, even though it had been 40 years those in Jericho, those in Canaan still knew about that. And so Rahab knew what was going on. She had an idea. And what she knew, what she believed then caused her to live differently than the rest of those who were in Jericho. She invited the spies in. She helped them out. And so what she believed was demonstrated by what she did. Yes, her works show what was in her heart. And what our works show is what is in our hearts. We are called Jesus. We started out very early in the sermon with this. Jesus says, a good tree does not bear bad fruit, and a bad tree does not bear good fruit. We are called to be fruit testers. And the first person I need to put the fruit test to is myself. What is coming out of me? Are those fruits that show that I believe, or are those fruits that show that I don't believe? If the fruits of my life show that I believe, I can have confidence. Not in the works themselves, but in the God who gives us that grace. On the other hand, if the works of my life don't show faith, then I need to come before our God on my knees and pray, Lord, help me, forgive me, turn me, so that my life would show forth your praise and your honor. Faith without works is dead. We need to have that. And we need to understand how that lays in. That we are saved through our faith. But we have to understand that true faith is going to be working faith. That our faith is going to be faith that shows itself in our lives. That we cannot be like the demons and believe that there's a God that's not going to save us. We need to have a faith that changes our lives. That we do not live like the world around us. Because if we live like the world around us, we show that our faith is dead. It's not there. And so, brothers and sisters, we need to understand that what comes out of us, what comes out of our lives, what our actions do, shows what's in our hearts. Faith. Is faith what's in our hearts? Now, the best way that I can show that, the best way I can know that, is what am I doing? And if we have questions, we need to talk to someone who can help us with that, whether that be the pastor or whether that be the elders. But brothers and sisters, we need to understand and be called again and again back to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Abraham believed God. And it was accounted to him for righteousness. We are saved through faith. And that faith is going to be a working faith if it is truly a faith at all. Amen. Let us then come and bow before our God in prayer. And we'll close this prayer together with the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. Almighty, most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the fact that you have worked faith in our hearts. With the man that addressed Jesus, we cry out to you, Lord, we believe. Help thou our unbelief. We do not come to you on account of the worthiness of our faith. We come to you on account of your blessed, your well-beloved, your only begotten Son, our Savior. And we pray, O Lord, in thanksgiving that you call us into your presence on account of his perfect righteousness. And we pray, O Lord, that you would work within us a faith that is a working faith. That it is a faith that shows itself in our lives. And we pray, O Lord, that we might have confidence in you based on that fact. That you are working in our hearts and in our lives. And that you have promised that he who has begun a good work in us will be faithful to bring it forward to that day of completion. We pray, Lord, in thanksgiving. We pray, Lord, in praise to you for your mercy and for your grace to us. That though we are sinners, though we are lawbreakers, we are saved because Christ fulfilled the law perfectly on our behalf. And so, Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We honor you who are worthy of more honor and more praise than we can even bring. We pray, Lord, guide us. That our lives would show forth your praises. That others would see our good works and glorify you as our faithful God and Father. For we bow before you, we pray these things through Jesus Christ, and we pray as he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.